Hello and welcome back to the Stadio podcast. I'm Musa Okwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks Musa. How are you?
Very well, wrapped up warm. It's cold out.
It is cold out. Stay warm. We hope everyone else is staying safe, staying well, wherever you are in the world. Today, we're going to talk about Wednesday's Champions League games. We did Tuesdays on a little show yesterday. So if you haven't checked that, go back and check that. I think that's it, right?
That's it.
Just going to do Champions League. But unfortunately, we don't fall on Friday, so we can't talk about Europe's premier club competition, which is... I'm going to try and watch the West Ham Freiburg game, though, because that's basically like a shootout for the who goes through top. Mm. It's actually quite interesting, some of the Europa League. Group C is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was similar actually in this Champions League, which we'll get to in a sec. But yeah, there wasn't a huge amount. But what there was great. I will say that.
I think that's a nice segue, Musa. Should we get into it after this?
Let's do it.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
We have to begin in Newcastle.
I think let's do it. Group F was probably the most intriguing group. I mean, arguably of the week.
And actually, do you know what? It proved it was exactly the group that we hoped it would be in terms of, like, not necessarily the outcomes, but in terms of the drama.
Mm.
The moment that draw was picked, we thought, we really thought going out of the last day, you felt looking at it that it would be the toughest.
Mm.
And it produced, I think, the most intriguing selection of matches. It was exactly what it promised. It's not often you get that in a Champions League. So Newcastle going out of Europe altogether because they lost 2-1 to AC Milan.
They did take the lead, though, with a really good Joel Linton goal.
Gorgeous goal.
That first touch from Joel Linton that just kind of like...
teed it up, put it up in the air.
I love goals like that. Because, you know... sometimes in football, when people look at back controls and they're just a bit like, oh, you know, the ball's bouncing up. Actually, when it's done deliberately, because you're like, no, I want this to sit up for me to hit it. I thought his celebration was really bizarre.
Yeah, because it was muted at first, wasn't it? And then it got intense. It was almost like, I'm the man, not get from me, but this is no big deal. And then he sprints over to Eddie Howe and he's like, it's a massive deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, it was kind of odd. Like, I'm like, because like, amazing goal. One or the other. Either the nonchalance or the extreme hype is, but then I thought, nah, that's wild.
Never both.
But a great finish, a great goal.
They'd
had a very close shave before that, actually, Newcastle. AC Milan, hadn't they? They had a clearance off the line.
Yeah.
So they were kind of, it was a funny game this because for all of Newcastle's first half, I suppose dominance,
pressure. They were so good in the first half, Newcastle.
AC Milan kind of held them at bay. I think if they conceded that early goal before Joel Linton scored, I think they conceded the early goal. I think it's a different story, but the resilience to hold out was, I think, was quite marked because that let them keep them in the game.
Mm.
And as they kind of played their way back into it, AC Milan, it was funny because we were in the chat actually talking about Rafael Leão and how he'd been a bit quiet and then he turned on the afterburner.
It was like, hang on a minute, who's sent this to Rafael?
Yeah.
He started to realise that he needed to take control of the game a little bit. And I'm not sure if he entirely took control of the game, but he definitely, I mean, some of the positions he was dropping in deep, picking the ball up, getting play started, he all of a sudden just seemed to be, I don't know, like but playing like someone who was playing with a younger age group in the playground.
Yes.
It looked a bit too easy for a while. And this is the thing about Rafael, where I'm just like, wow, man, like you, when you are on,
when the mood takes him, he's
you are a problem.
near unstoppable. You see what he did to Napoli in the Champions League.
Yeah.
When he's on it. And I think it needed that. We saw Son Heung-min against Trippier in the Premier League. We saw what happens when you really go at that flank.
Mm.
He brought a lot of that. I mean, you know, the problem with the East Milan was, and they needed his help, they had such a busy inbox in that first half. They were really overrun. I actually thought Reinders was decent. I really enjoyed watching him. I think it was funny. Weirdly enough, him going forward almost cost AC Milan because he got a bit confident dribbling to the box. And then I think once he gets caught with a turnover, and it really was almost very, it was almost fatal for them. But luckily, Mike Maignan came with this incredible stop. That save from, was it Guimaraes or Joe Linton?
I think it was Guimaraes.
Guimaraes. Wow. That save
onto the bar, right?
That's an all-timer. Because he had to see it come around a crowd of people. And it's the kind of save that a lesser keeper gets a hand to, but it still goes in. Like the strength to palm it onto the bar was something else. But the combination of, I think, some good substitutions, bring on Noah Okafor, that was a great sub, which ended up being crucial. Fikayo Tomori was immense pretty much throughout. Hit the post, great clearance off the line, and just extremely assertive. I thought he was gutsy as hell.
I think he's just so good. And he's been, I don't know, man. I just love him. I think he's been amazing since he's moved to Milan.
Yeah.
Like, he's so calm. Like, it's just, you rarely ever see Fikayo Tomori get overrun, get flustered. Like, even when shit kicks off, he's usually a bit just kind of like, what are you doing? You know, like that kind of energy. I love him. I absolutely love him.
This environment, incredible. Like, you consider how loud it was at points.
Yeah.
And Newcastle having so much to play for, you know, especially like a return to Europe for them. It was just to go into that environment and produce a performance like that. And like I said, like even hit the post late on, could have sealed it. In fact, actually, if there's a slight criticism of AC Milan, they could have taken care of business slightly earlier.
Yeah.
Liao had that really good chance he hit the post with. I don't think it was, it's one of those weird ones where.
That was at 1-1, right?
Yeah, it was the breakaway. It was funny because he hits the post and you think to yourself, like, it's not a howler as a miss.
No.
It's actually a really clever piece of deception for the keeper. But also, if AC Milan go out, you're like, he should have scored it. It was one of those weird ones. But the eventual winner that came, listen, one of the most dangerous counter-attackers in Europe, Samuel Chukwueze. The whole move, just a shout out to Noah Okafor, because the bravery to make the run that he makes at the start of the run, the start of the move, he cuts between two tracking Newcastle players, and it's just seeing that space and surging through the gap. Plays a 1-2 kind of with Jovic, a sort of an extended 1-2 with Jovic, who was useful, I thought. Plays it into the corner, as the corner of the inside right for Chukwueze, who comes onto it and just hits that sweet, sweet cutting strike. It almost belonged, to be honest with you, this goal belonged in the knockout stages. That's how good it was.
Yeah, it did. Quarterfinal, second leg.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jovic is making a bit of a habit of just coming on and having decent substitute appearances.
I like that for him, actually.
It kind of works. I mean, it's we've talked about him before, like how curious his career has been.
Yeah.
Especially after that season at Eintracht, or the two seasons at Eintracht, where that front three just ran absolute havoc on everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. One of a selection of attackers who provides him with a different option, actually. You know, kind of, it's a bit reductive, but a kind of, he doesn't link the play quite as well as Giroud. I mean, who does?
But I mean, Giroud's layoff for the Pulisic goal was
nice, eh? Yeah.
Really good. Just, yeah, really good. Sorry, I interrupted
you. They've got good options, actually. You look at Milan all of a sudden, they've got some good pieces. You bring Okafor off the bench, Chukwueze, and Jovic in the mix as rotation. That's useful.
I was going to say, it's a shame that Rebic left for Besiktas.
Yeah.
He could have had that, could have brought the, gone after Kostic as well, and just had like the old front three, bring them all on a substitute. So they're just like, you know, let's go.
Yeah. No, that would have been really cool. They're really cool. But Rebic, I think it was just, he's got a bit knackered with the injuries by the end.
Yeah.
It's a shame they didn't unite, though, because I think Milan, a better home for them. Madrid,
it would have been fun. Good win for Milan, which meant that they went into the Europa League, and it made for a really good game because both teams needed to win.
Yes.
The thing that made me a bit sad about this, though, is that I know that a lot of the groups were kind of done by match day six, right? We know that. Right. But this is the reason why the Champions League is so good in its current format. Well, not so good, but like better than what is going to come next year. And this is the last year that we're going to get these groups.
Right? Absolutely.
So I actually thought about this a little bit because I realized I don't have a problem if only one or two groups end up like this, because actually I prefer watching two games where the stakes are really, really high than it happening in five or six.
Okay, right.
Do you know what I mean? Because it gets, you, it feels like I can't concentrate enough on all of them at the same time. You have to get a bit Minority Report on it, right?
Like to be honest with you, that's actually relevant to my interests. I do like that kind of cerebral, that's just me.
Yeah, but no, but it's great for goal show, but I really enjoyed last night having the Newcastle game on my laptop and the Dortmund PSG game on the TV and just actually being able to watch both.
Right.
You know, that was like really, really fun.
Like even I had to watch games back. I had to watch back a couple after watching them because you don't catch everything when you've got the kind of conference skipping between goal highlights. You don't really get a sense of the flow of the game is the real problem. Because those, I love that sort of option you can have in DAZN where it flips between different games. The only problem I would say is it doesn't give you a sense of dominance without chances. So you can have a team having these incredible passages of play where they're not really creating much, but it feels like the goal is coming. That's my one sort of critique of watching the game that way. So I share your view on it. But it was just, I don't know, last night felt very old school as well, especially like ties like Dortmund PSG, which are just kind of inherently tasty.
I mean, should we talk about this?
Let's talk about this. Yeah, so Dortmund won, PSG won. So PSG going through into the Champions League, sorry.
Second in the group.
Yeah, second in the group. And interesting because PSG, it's the younger players that are making me most excited. We've talked about Zaire Emery, but also Barcola hitting the post with a glorious effort. And Kolo Muani is not ruthless in front of goal at this point, but some of his movements outstanding. The way he's eluding players is really, really promising. But just the general cohesion of PSG, you're watching them and thinking, I can see, even with your absentees for injury, what you're trying to build here.
I thought it was a good game. A really good game, actually. Likewise. And both sides had chances early on.
PSG just can't finish.
I mean, Marius Wolf had one as well, which he should have put away. And then a couple of chances up the other end. Mbappe had one.
The clearance by Sula off the line.
Nicolas Sula's clearance was unbelievable.
That's because, an all-timer.
The commentary were basically like, oh, Mbappe just does stuff like this and we're waiting for it to go in. And then all of a sudden, Sula does this last-ditch dive. But not only just does he get his foot in front of it, he does this deliberate action to try and hook it over the bar.
It's like the Gordon Banks save against Pele when it's back on the bounce, on the up.
It's almost like he's aware that even getting a foot to it might not be enough.
Yeah.
So he has to really work it away. It's unbelievable. So good. Honestly, it's one of the best. It's one of the best like clearances I've seen.
Well, Mbappe, the best
this
thing
season,
is,
but I can't remember all the clearances.
The look of shock on Mbappe's face, where he's like,
first thing he does is he looks at the assistant, and he wants the flag to go up.
He feels
Mbappe
like cheated.
Does this. Mbappe does this all the time, right? Whenever something's happened, he looks around for help. He did it after Jan Sommer saved the penalty in the Euros. He does this thing where he just kind of looks around as if to be like, is anyone going to check if he was off his line or is anyone? And he did it last night where he straight away, he just looked at the assistant referee and he was just like, is anyone going to flag me offside or what?
Help me. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Yeah.
But he did get given offside just later in the game.
Oh, that gorgeous finish, which I thought might end up being the winner. He did some really great stuff in the build-up, actually, Mbappe in this game. Really, really great. Combining well with his players. This is, again, the thing with PSG. If they just sort out their finishing, they're trouble. And I think some of that, and this is going to sound really patronising, I think some of that is actually just youth, to be honest. Because some of these finishes, they're rushing them. And I think it's not just youth, it's also playing in a settled 11 where you know exactly what looks your teammates are going to create for you.
Yeah, they had they had 18 shots, 6 on target, 4 big chances, and an XG of 2.86 in this game.
Right, there it is.
PSG. But it was Dortmund who took the lead. Karim Adeyemi, after a lovely layoff from Niklas Füllkrug.
And the senior players, actually, for PSG, funny enough, Hakimi and Marquinhos letting them down. in possession, which ceded the ball to Dortmund. But yeah, nice finish from Adeyemi and Dortmund taking the lead.
Yeah, and there was only five minutes later that Zaire Emery got the goal back.
Deflected strike, wasn't it, after very good work by Mbappe?
Yeah, but he... Sorry to say this kid, but how is this kid 17?
Ridiculous.
He plays wise, like,
he took the ball under
years.
Pressure near his own box. Mm. And he cut between two men at a point in the second half, I think. And you just think, you're doing that there? Like, that's an elite move. And it's like, it's the kind of move that, like, you know, Modric pulls off.
Mm.
It's an elite ball-carrying move to play well after trouble and then starts a counter. And you're just thinking, the awareness even to do that. Most players go back. Most players get the ball in that position and just play it back to a centre back. And that's absolutely fine. And that's 99% of players do that. And that's a great choice. But he makes the brave choices that push the game forward with an awareness that he should not have. He has no right to have before the age of 20.
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
a very special one.
He was amazing. He's going to be.
Yeah. Immense.
Yeah, absolutely immense. And then, then they had the Mbappe goal that was given offside. It was rightly so given offside, thanks to the semi-automated offside. And that was...
kind of it.
Yeah, there were a couple of chances afterwards. I think that both sides knew the deal by now, especially when Milan took the lead. I think word filtered down and they were just a bit like, this is fine.
Yeah.
PSG, I don't think, really felt like they needed to finish top. Because I don't think it really matters too much for them.
Not the worst tournament for PSG to be in, to be honest.
No, and I think it's interesting if you look at the teams that have qualified. Maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I just want to big up Dortmund because they're forming the Bundesliga and obviously going out of the cup as well. It's not been amazing. There have been really good moments this season, but there have also been some poor moments, and we talked about this numerous times. But their form in Europe, especially after their first two match days, they really grew into the group stage. And I've been really impressed with Dortmund, especially
the two games in the Champions League.
The two games against Newcastle, they were just really mature, grown-up performances, and something that in a very highly charged environment. You know, like we've mentioned, Newcastle coming back into the Champions League, all the stuff that's going on around the club, and like them being on an upward trajectory, and Dortmund just very calmly
shut it down. Yeah,
away and at home.
Yep.
And then I think that led on to the Milan game away at San Siro. And then I just think they've been really good.
And those are probably games where prior to them, Eddie Howe might have thought we could get 4 points from this.
Yeah.
Three at home and one away. Very, very possibly. I really thought.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought Dortmund actually outperformed, to be honest.
Like, I mean, if you think they finished top of a group that had two clubs owned by nation states.
Right.
You know, and the other one was Milan, who went to the semi-finals last year.
Right, so had the pedigree, all the recent...
That is a tough group. I mean, everyone talked about this when you know, from a very English perspective, when Newcastle got drawn in that group, everyone was just like, oh my God, it's the group of death. And like, what a group. Like, oh God, wow. And I think a lot of people thought Dortmund would finish bottom out.
Yeah.
Especially in England.
Right.
And I think the Champions League is actually an interesting one this season because you know, two English clubs finishing bottom of their groups and going out of Europe entirely. It's not a great look for the Premier League, actually.
No, it's a huge deal.
Now, I knew Newcastle maybe, well, both sides actually, Manchester United and Newcastle, have had like a lot of injuries and haven't been able to field full strength sides. But with the difference in wealth compared to a lot of the rest of the rest of Europe, and this is maybe where Newcastle, they're up against PSG, who are obviously...
Newcastle might argue they haven't had the multiple years of investment that allow you to have a squad of that depth. Mm. And that, I think that's a fair, if they're making that point, I think it's a fairer point than United complaining about it, because United have got multiple years of deep investment and of the type of player, the caliber of player that comes because of Champions League football, although that's not so much a problem. United over time, in the next few months anyway. But all of that said, Newcastle will have exceptional resources, well, limitless resources. So the Dortmund to come through like they did, I thought was really, really impressive.
Mm.
And also just like, look, forget resources. St. James's Park was loud as hell on that last day. So yeah, respect to them and respect to, I think, both teams for making it a spectacle as it was.
Mm.
And it felt like a really old school European tie, actually. It felt like this sort of mid-90s, actually, is the best compliment I can give. Yeah.
What do you think of AC Milan's kit?
You know what? It really grew on me. When I first saw it, classic thing, oh, I don't like it. And as the game went on, I was like, yeah, because, you know, you're expecting like the Milan kit, the red and black against, and I thought, actually, they look really good in it. It's a good vibe. It's a nice cut. And it's just a pretty cool. And also like on the break, it looks epic. It looks really, really cool.
It did look good on the break.
Yeah.
A good kit for transition.
It looks like a bunch of, because of like the colors of the kit, you know, like when you're like flying, you've like caught the red eye flight.
Yeah.
And you see the sunrise on the plane. It's like, they look like that. They look like that. It's like a sunrise.
Especially you should write. Like, you should write.
No one will pay this old codger for anything.
Should we take a break and then let's do some other groups?
Let's do it.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before. Because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef. Because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Group E, Atleti beating Lazio 2-0. This was basically whoever won went top of this group and went through. Griezmann opened the scoring after 6 minutes, and then Leno with a second just after half time is enough for Atleti. They also had a goal ruled out for offside, Mario Hermoso.
Can I just say, Griezmann has just been on an unbelievable run.
He's been so good this year.
Ever since his World
Best
Cup,
player in La Liga apart from Bellingham?
Oh yeah, like Griezmann ever since, like since the start of the World Cup has just been on one.
Mm.
Like he was spectacular there. And he's so busy. He must be the world's busiest footballer. Like he's even busier than Bernardo Silva. You know? Griezmann reminds you of? So I went to watch a movie a few months ago, quite good actually, The Triangle of Sadness. And it's like these local picture houses in Berlin. And you go there and you buy your popcorn off the guy. Thank you. Then you go get your ticket office. And it's the same guy at the ticket office.
Oh,
and then you go to watch the movie. And it's the same guy turning on the movie. Oh. And that's Spacey Griezmann. And I bet at the end, he tidies everything up. I bet he's like the kind of handyman that ties and fixes things up.
That's so cute.
And he's just the ultimate, footballing handyman. Griezmann will go, he's the kind of, there's certain players, I've mentioned him before because I think he deserves his props. There's certain players where, you know, Pep will say to Gundogan start of a season, oh, by the way, Ilkay, you're only going to score 2 goals this season. You're not going to cross the halfway line. Okay, Pep. Okay, Antoine, you're not going to score a goal for the next 15 games. You're going to play left back. Okay. Okay, Diego. Okay, Cholo. Like, and that's it. And I love this. And I love that he scored a goal because it just gives him a bit of a spotlight. And also, it's a lovely finish. Right-footed finish. But yeah, Griezmann, the ultimate footballing handyman. Multiple jobs.
He's just great.
Yeah, he's great. Love him. I just love the style, the technique, everything.
I want him to go to Everton so that when Griezmann scores a goal and he just does a normal celebration, Sean Dyche can be like, "Do you see what Antoine did? Just scored a goal. He's really authentic. And this silly dancing, holding an L up there and all this kind of stuff." Get Sean Dyche to Atleti.
Do you know what makes me quite sad about that? About that, the fact that probably not going to happen, Griezmann to Everton. Griezmann is just the kind of huge signing who don't would catalyse Everton. No, but you think don't about like Everton. Do you not? Do you not? Just to let Everton fans dream
do
a bit.
Musa, what are you doing?
Because let them dream. You know how there's like.
Oh, they had it. They had it with James. They had it with James Rodriguez.
But Griezmann, he's perfect for Everton.
He's not, Musa. He is, though. Like, he is. I love you, but he's not. He's not perfect for it. No, he's not.
He could play. He slot in tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's like saying Bellingham is perfect for Everton.
Actually, that's a great shout. No, my point being,
you know what like I mean? I know what you mean, but no, stop this.
A late career move to a club like Everton, it's a catalyst. Just 2 years, 2 years of Griezmann. Think about it. Go on, Everton fans. There's a dream for you.
I mean,
you just want me to give people hope.
No, I don't. No, I just don't want you to. I don't want people. I don't want to give people false hope. There's a difference. Hope is fine. Mean false hope for the sake of hashtag content with an asterisk in there because I hate that word. Listen. Bad Musa.
Listen, Ryan, I'm a poet. I pay my bills off false hope for years. Anyway, but yes.
I mean, do you know what? If Carlo Ancelotti goes back to Everton.
See, that's unpopular. See,
why?
me saying Griezmann to Everton. Oh, wow. But
I think Carlo loved it there. He only left Real Madrid.
Is it not?
He's
like,
still there.
It's a bit Bridge Burnie there, isn't it?
I don't want to do this. I just told you off for false hope. I'm going to go there.
There he is.
A couple of years. Dyche leaves Everton. Carlo Ancelotti comes back. He signs a 34-year-old Antoine Griezmann for 2 years, brings a couple of other players in. They'll probably be available for cheap as well because Everton won't have a lot of money to spend. They're in the new stadium and Carlo takes them to the Champions League.
There you see, look.
Fuck yeah.
Just minutes earlier. Yes. Minutes earlier, I'm getting cooked.
Ah, shut up. Shut up, Musa.
You shut up.
No, you shut up. I'm going to do my own podcast.
But yeah, really good win this for Atleti over Lazio. Who were slightly disappointing, I would say. Other game, just very quickly, Celtic beating Feyenoord late, and that's a huge deal. You can see from the celebrations actually what a big deal it was for Celtic to win that, because they've had some really, really poor results. And I think the last couple of years in particular, Celtic have played some great, obviously under Ange last year. Celtic's results haven't always reflected some of the beauty of the football they've played. So I'm glad they got something from this. Very, very late winner in injury time. Mm. They were good value for it.
And let's go to Group H, because there was a wild game in Antwerp. Royal Antwerp 3, Barcelona 2. Royal Antwerp taking the lead very early on after 2 minutes from Vermeeren. Ferran Torres equalised for Barcelona 10 minutes before halftime.
Lamine Yamal with the assist here. That looked like Pete David Silva.
It was so good.
That is awesome.
Barcelona weren't very good. I know there's a lot of rotation here, but still, they were just loads of errors, like the Romeo error for the first goal.
I'm not
Koundé
sure.
Peña, bit.
Maybe in his mitigation. You know,
yeah, Peña shouldn't
Peña's
have given him the ball.
Peña's pass was a bad
Peña
ball.
Peña should not have given him the ball.
But still also.
Just get rid.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the Catalan for get rid.
Right. You should have ripped into the stands.
Yeah, that should have gone. Vincent Janssen restoring Royal Antwerp's lead 10 minutes after half time. And we can chuckle at this because Barcelona finished top of the group and it's fine, right? And they were already through. But just an objectively funny 3 minutes of football at the end of this game.
Yeah.
Like, take us away, Mr. Ogonga.
So Gue scores to equalise. Really beautifully frighted free kick from Gundogan. And at that point, it's 2-2.
Good header as well.
Yeah, it's 2-2. Lovely header at the near post for Barcelona. It's 2-2. But then, defensive mix-up allows in Eleni Kana in injury time, goes through, strokes the bottom corner, and Antwerp just go absolutely wild. Because this is, bear in mind, a team that won the Belgian League with effectively the last kick of the last season. So for them to be enjoying a win against Barcelona is all a bonus. Like, everything they do in this tournament is a bonus.
I mean, they'd lost all five games before this in the group.
Right, so to get a win... Yeah. To go away for a win, but yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal, really.
It was amazing. Absolute scenes.
And there was also, like, if there are any Antwerp fans that listen close to this podcast, please enlighten me about the outfit this guy was wearing, because he looked a bit like that. You know, the bee in The Simpsons, the Spanish dude that dresses the bee.
Who are we talking about?
The Antwerp fans.
Oh.
There's an, He was dressed either like a bee or some kind of rabbit or something. I'm not sure what it was. Or a strongman.
A bee, like well, a wrestler. A bee and a rabbit are very different things, Musa.
But this is the fan that watch, they'll know what I mean. Like, he turned to the camera like three different times and like he looked like he was wearing three different outfits. But yeah. But it was that kind of game. It was that kind of game. I think he summed up the chaos of the match itself.
It was chaos. Do you know what was also chaos? Was Porto's win over Shakhtar, 5-3. My favourite thing on this was... I can't remember who was commentating, but they described Pepe as a threat in both boxes, which I took as a little bit, which I took as a bit of a dig, actually.
So that's a word for the graves then. He was a threat in both.
A threat in both boxes and now a threat in this one.
Ah, Pepe, what a legend. What a legend. Funny about the scoreline is, first of all, rare that Shakhtar get handled like this.
Mm.
And it was not as close as the scoreline suggests at all. Porto just basically they took what they wanted throughout this game.
Yeah.
Really very, impressive, very actually. Really impressive. Even a goal for the manager's son. Young Conte Sarr popping up.
And he pointed to his name.
He didn't remember the name, as if we could forget. Oh, it's one of the best known surnames in the city. I mean, the guy's got like, apparently he's got like five sons, Sergio Conte Sarr. So like Conte Sarr is like, it's literally a name you see everywhere multiple times. Like we don't need to be reminded of that, but still I like the gesture.
Yeah, I do. Shakhtar through to the Europa League though, which I think is still an unbelievable achievement.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see Porto in the knockout stage because I think they're gonna give someone a bloody nose.
Really, yeah, truly. Yeah. Memories of eliminating Juventus are still fresh. Very fresh.
They're just good for an upset, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Let's do the final group. Group G, Manchester City. It was all kind of pretty much wrapped up. Man City winning 3-2 in Belgrade against Crvena Zvezda. Heavily rotated side. Young Micah Hamilton opened the scoring. His post-match interview was so cute.
Oh, I didn't
he
see
was
it.
Just so happy. He was just like, oh yeah, I couldn't believe it. And I got told yesterday in training, before we played the match in training that was starting, I was just like, what? Like, I couldn't believe it. Oh, the whole experience was just amazing. Like, I loved it. It was just so, so wholesome.
That's so cool.
They showed footage of Pep giving him instructions when he was a ball boy at a City game. And now he's obviously playing, he's 20 years old, scored a great goal.
You watch Pep for like 6-7 years and then...
And then you're playing.
Yeah, unreal.
And I thought he was really good. I mean, he really made sure that they got that penalty. But actually, so what, really? What? Like, it was a penalty. I know it was a bit dramatic, but so what? Calvin Phillips, that was his first Man City goal, right?
It's wild, really. Yeah. Goodness.
Good that they gave him the penalty. I quite like that. I know it pisses off some hashtag proper football men, but I like it.
But it's like with Kai Havertz. You need someone. You need to get on the score sheet. You need to get some confidence and get moving.
Yeah.
And also in between those two goals, Oscar Bob with, that was the goal of the game, I think. Just the way he cut this way and that, that's a hell of a left guy's got on him. I know I mentioned it a lot, but Roberto Baggio vibes in terms of the dribbling. Yeah, really liked it.
Leipzig, meanwhile, beat Young Boys 2-1 in Leipzig. So that group is basically as it was before the day.
Yeah.
City go through top. Leipzig second, Young Boys into Europa League, Crvena Zvezda out of Europe. So the Champions League knockout stages are set. Bayern Munich, FC Copenhagen, Arsenal, PSV, Real Madrid, Napoli, Real Sociedad, Inter, Atleti, Lazio, Dortmund, PSG, Man City, Leipzig, Barcelona, Porto.
Do you know what sounds to me about this?
Go on.
Those are some really, there's the potential for some fantastic ties in there. And the ties are going to be really lovely. And then we're going to be like, why are we changing this? Why are we changing this format? That's my feels about it.
Yeah. I was looking at who finished second. I was like, so Arsenal can play Copenhagen, Napoli, Inter, Lazio, PSG, Leipzig.
Those are horrible. Those are horrible.
they're horrible. All of them are horrible.
They're all horrible.
Really? This is Arsenal's reward. I mean, do you want to talk about the Champions League reforms? I know we talked about it a little bit before, but
no, you know, I don't. Do you know why?
Should we save it for the end of season?
Well, also because this is just joyful. Like, we've had all these really intriguing ties, exciting ties, and I think that just drags us down a bit. Like, we'll talk about it when we get to it.
Yes, this is, you know,
we just want to enjoy this for now, you know.
I agree.
It's like when you've got the weather forecast for this week and the week after. And this week it's like, oh, it's going to be like so-and-so. And the week after it's going to be just dreary as hell. You're like, actually, we just sit in the moment and just like look back on a series of really great ties. You look at these groups and they absolutely delivered, didn't they? I got to say.
Yeah, some of them were good, man. I think that with Champions League stuff or any group stage or tournament that has a group stage, you're going to get a spread of teams and sometimes some groups are just going to be pretty dry. But even the drier ones, like there were moments in them, you know, Leipzig going 2-0 up against City, for example, was really interesting. And I mean, that group was, I think the gap in wealth was so big between the top two, and you clearly knew Leipzig and City were going to go through.
You know what? City winning all six.
But if you look at Manchester United's group, for example,
yeah,
or you look at the Dortmund group, I mean, the Arsenal group kind of had Europa League energy.
It did.
Including Arsenal, by the way. That's not like, you know, very much a Europa League, a recent Europa League side that is in the Champions League now.
But I got to say, the 6-0, that showed us something. That showed me something.
Yeah, definitely. Especially after being kind of on the end of a defeat in Lens. Mm. I think the most disappointing one for me was probably Group C, because I know Union have struggled this year, but I just think if they play their Champions League games at the Alta Försterei,
oh yeah,
I think it's a different thing. And I know that they, you know, they obviously maximise the commercial and revenue from that and all good, but
it was like Arsenal playing at Wembley, wasn't it? When Arsenal played at Wembley, it gave the opposition an advantage.
But they're used to it though, because they did it in the Europa League. So they should be used to that by now. But I just meant that I really expected Union to maybe ruffle some feathers in that group. They nearly took a point at the Bernabeu in the first game.
And that was the one, that was the crucial thing, I think. I think a point there.
Yeah.
That's your big what if. They get a point there, what are the implications for their season? Because they actually started the Bundesliga like kind of okay.
Well, they scored 8 goals in the first 2 games, I think.
This is the thing. If they got that draw at the Bernabeu, then I think it, because the thing about Union was each point of their ascent, they've leapt forward.
Mm.
And this was the first time they displayed something a little bit like sort of altitude sickness, where the teams with more resources, but also sort of slightly cuter, more experience, more resilience at this level, that really, and those margins actually in those individual games weren't that big.
Mm.
Ironically, the margins in the Champions League were smaller than the margins in the Bundesliga. But the margins in the Champions League are just, they're earned over multiple years.
Mm.
So you look at like Real Madrid winning all those late games in the Champions League, it can be like, oh yes, but to come back like that takes 10 years of understanding.
Yeah, it's muscle memory. It becomes automatic in a sense.
Right, and understanding when there's opportunity, and you don't see that opportunity if you've been playing Champions League for like this season.
Yeah. And the other great story for me, I think, is Real Sociedad.
Yes.
Along with Copenhagen. Copenhagen going through, obviously, for the second time in their history, but I think Real Sociedad finishing top of that group.
Playing some gorgeous football as
undefeated,
well.
Undefeated. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Love it for them.
I reckon we leave it there, huh?
Yeah, I think we're good. Good.
3 stadios this week.
Good times, good work. And you're still working tomorrow.
Hard luck, everyone.
And you're in Wrighty's house tomorrow.
Yeah. Quick reminder, by the way, we're going to record the Christmas episodes very early next week. So we'll send another reminder out on Monday. But if there's anything, if you want to get your submissions in for the football things to be grateful for this year, make sure you send them to hello@stadio.football. We'll try and read as many out as we can. Thanks to everyone who sent them in already. Don't be afraid to, you know, make it very personal. It doesn't have to be about a Premier League side. It can be something local, anything football related that you feel like you're grateful for this year. We got some lovely ones last year. We've already got some lovely ones this year. And a reminder, that will go out on Christmas Day, and then the stadios will go out on, I think, the 28th of December. So, yeah. Other than that, don't forget to check Wrighty's House and Counter Pressed and all the other good stuff on The Ringer. And don't forget to check the Stadio Outros plays on Spotify. Speaking of which, you might have heard this one playing in the background coming up. We thought that because Newcastle, Milan, Dortmund, PSG was a banger of a group, we thought we'd have to play it on this absolute banger.
Haha, there it is.
It's been a while since I think we played out on a
it's true.
A bit of a heavy acid tune. That's anyway, right. It's off the new JTC album, and the tune is called Intra Acid, and the album itself is called Intra Acti. It's out on Bopside, Bopside, and I would recommend going to their Bandcamp, bopside.bandcamp.com, and checking out all of the music from Tad Mullenix and all his multiple aliases on there. Well worth doing for anyone who likes electronic music. So we're gonna leave you with this banger.
Absolutely fitting.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Moosog Wonga?
Listen, how can you follow that, man? Listen, a banger to end the group stages.
Oh, you should drop a banger over the banger. Come on.
I wish. No,
do it. Do it.
No, I'm not doing it. Can't follow that.
Fine.
Fine.
All right, everyone. Have a lovely weekend. Much love. We'll be back with you on Monday.
See you then.